Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today I'd like to discuss a timeless rule of God. Psalm chapter 9, verse 15, the nations have sunk down into the pit, which they have made. In the net which they hid, their own foot has been caught. Now, there are millions of illustrations of this principle, but let me just focus on one. The recent Attorney General's report on Comey's handling of the Hillary Clinton case. Clinton having a private email server to conduct government business in her home in violation of government law. Now, this recent report, over 500 pages, is a great reminder of this principle continually mentioned in Scripture, that the pit you dig for others, you will fall into yourself. Or rather, the ungodly in their plotting to hurt their opponents and to help themselves will only hurt themselves and help their opponents, specifically when their opponent is the will of God. So here's the story. Back in April, Congress requested the DOJ, the Department of Justice, under Jeff Sessions, to investigate if there was any illegal political partisanship going on in the FBI in regard to James Comey not prosecuting Hillary for violating the law in regard to having this private server. Remember, Hillary had installed a private email server in her home to conduct government and political business. This was not simply having a private email account, apart from the government account. This was a piece of equipment in her home that easily could cost tens of thousands of dollars just to install, and then cost thousands per month to have it professionally maintained. Now, the only reason someone would do this is to prevent anyone in government from looking at one's conversations, and so that you can destroy the data if somebody requests that data. And this is exactly what Hillary did. She destroyed all the data off of those servers after being subpoenaed by the government to disclose the information on those servers. So the crime is really twofold. First, having a server to deliberately break the law in regard to handling government business. And second, the very thing she was trying to hide. Most people suspect it had something to do with donations to the Clinton Foundation for political favors. No one has a private server in their basement unless they're trying to hide something. So in June of 2016, James Comey comes out and makes an announcement to the media that Hillary was negligent, but she did nothing illegal. Comey had to reinterpret the law concerning the handling of classified information in order to exonerate Hillary. Comey's claim was that the law doesn't apply to Hillary because she didn't intend to break the law. But the law clearly states that her activity was illegal regardless of intent. And so our current Department of Justice looked into this whole matter, and the report, the short of it, was that agents at the FBI were politically motivated to help Hillary and to stop Donald Trump. FBI agent Peter Strzok, investigator in the Hillary investigation under Comey, and also an investigator in the Russian investigation, texted another FBI agent, Lisa Page, with whom he was having an affair. Page's text, "Trump is not ever going to become president." Strzok responded, "No, he won't. We will stop it." Which is something you would never expect an FBI agent to say. The Attorney General report stated, "The text potentially indicated or created the appearance that investigators' decisions were impacted by biases or improper considerations. It is not only indicative of a biased state of mind, but even more seriously implies a willingness to take official action to impact the presidential candidate's electoral prospects. This is antithetical to the core values of the FBI and the Department of Justice. And this report also stated that there were at least five separate agents at the FBI who sent out pro-Clinton and anti-Trump messages. Government officials are supposed to be neutral. Political parties are not supposed to use governmental agencies, especially law enforcement agencies, to target their opponents. I mean, that's what happens in the Soviet Union or in Cuba, but not the United States. So here's the timetable. The DOJ's report was that in the spring of 2016, Comey had already made up his mind that Hillary was not going to be prosecuted by the FBI. This was even before Hillary was interviewed by the FBI. Then in June came the famous tarmac meeting between the former Attorney General Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton invited Loretta Lynch onto his plane for a private meeting, which looked very bad because Lynch was supposed to be investigating Hillary. Was Bill Clinton trying to influence Lynch? And by that meeting, Bill Clinton was setting up a series of events that would actually sabotage Hillary's campaign. In July, James Comey would make a public announcement that the FBI would not prosecute Hillary. The draft copy of his announcement was changed to favor Hillary. The announcement removed the statement that President Obama was contacting Hillary on her private server. The statement that Hillary was grossly negligent was changed to she was extremely careless. And that Hillary's server was likely hacked by hostile actors, that was changed to possibly hacked. Now, the reason Comey made this public announcement exonerating Hillary was because in his mind, Lynch and the Department of Justice looked compromised after the meeting on that tarmac. So Comey took this in hand to exonerate Hillary in this announcement, and this was a breaking of protocol. To quote the report, Comey determined that he should make an independent announcement in order to protect a sense of justice more broadly in the country, that things are fair and not fixed and done independently. Comey acknowledged that he made a conscious decision not to tell the department leadership about his plans to make a separate statement because he was concerned that they would instruct him not to do so. See, Comey was afraid the DOJ would say, "This is our job." The Attorney General report also went on to say, "We determined that Comey's decision to make this statement was the result of his belief that only he had the ability to credibly and authoritatively convey the rationale for the decision not to seek charges against Clinton, and that he needed to hold the press conference to protect the FBI and the DOJ from the extraordinary harm that he believed would have resulted if he failed to do so." Unquote. So in short, Comey was trying to put an end to all of these accusations that Hillary should be prosecuted, but in so doing, by changing the law to accommodate to her, he made the matter worse. By Bill Clinton meeting with Loretta Lynch on the tarmac, and by James Comey exonerating Hillary, guess what it did? It brought more public attention to Hillary's actions. You know, when officials make an excuse for someone's guilt, what does everyone think? Well, they must be guilty. And this whole issue kept the story of Hillary's emails, her email server, in the news. Then came the revelation that Congressman Anthony Weiner, his laptop contained emails from Hillary. This was discovered in September of 2016, and the FBI sat on this for about a month. But then in the week before the election, James Comey announced to Congress that some of Hillary's emails that she had erased on her server had been found. on Anthony Weiner's laptop. And remember, he was married to the friend and close confidant of Hillary Clinton. And so Comey said he was opening up the investigation again, and this looked politically bad for Hillary, that she was again under investigation by the FBI. After the blowback politically a few days before the election, James Comey came out again and said, there is nothing in those emails. Hillary is no longer under investigation, but it was too late. The story damaged her politically. Remember, the election was very close. Hillary won the popular vote. A few thousand more votes for Hillary in some key states would have given her the electoral votes she needed. So why did Comey reopen the investigation right before the election? Well, apparently he was so sure that she was going to win that he thought this would help her legitimacy. Quote from the report, we found that Comey's decision was a result of several interrelated factors that were connected to his concern that failing to send the letter about the new email discoveries would harm the FBI and his ability to lead it, and his view that candidate Clinton was going to win the presidency and she would perceive to be an illegitimate president if the public first learned of the information after the election. Now, whether Comey was right and wrong in doing this is beside the point. The point is he unwittingly, in trying to help her, destroyed her campaign. The Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer said about the AG report, quote, it was Trump who benefited from all of these mistakes, so it hardly reflects a deep state or bias against him. Well, that's an upside down way of looking at the report. There was obviously bias toward Clinton, but the point is that that bias backfired on those with the bias. By trying to help Hillary, these government agents actually hurt her. Even this whole fabricated Russian investigation to bring the president down has actually made the media look more foolish and hence has helped the president. And this is a lesson that we see again and again in scripture, that the plotting of the ungodly always comes back upon their own heads. Psalm chapter 7, verse 14, he conceives mischief and brings forth falsehood. He has dug a pit and hollowed it out and has fallen into the hole which he has made. Psalm 37, 15, their sword will enter their own heart. Psalm 57, 6, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They dug a pit before me. They themselves have fallen into the midst of it. Psalm 94, 23, he has brought back their wickedness upon them. Now, in saying this, it might sound rather partisan, that supporting Hillary is the evil position and supporting Trump is the good position. But no, my main point is mainly that the plotting of these government officials, these insiders, in supporting the candidate in violation of the law, backfired. And really, to be honest, it's evident that Hillary Clinton is the pro-abortion candidate, the supporter of the American Holocaust. But again, this news story about the DOJ report is just another reminder that in the end, you cannot beat God or God's people or his plans, even when you plot against him. And this is both a comfort for God's people that nobody can do anything to us that can thwart God's will for us. And this is a terror to the ungodly, that everything they do to stop God's work will only further his work, his glory, and even their own judgment, even when they win legislation in their favor. And remember, even when Satan plotted to put Jesus on the cross, Satan was doing the will of God and unwittingly bringing about his own legal destruction. Acts chapter 4, verse 27, for truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. Now, the apostles made the statement after they were arrested for preaching the gospel. They made the statement because they were acknowledging the fact that the evil actions of the wicked are thwarted by God. Even the arrest of the apostles would not work against the apostles. Their arrest gave more attention to the gospel and furthered the cause of evangelism. As in the slogan of the early church, the blood of the saints is the seed of the church. The more the church was persecuted, the more the church grew. Just as in the case of the arrest of the Apostle Paul, it allowed the gospel to be made known to the entire Praetorian Guard. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. It's all good. And Christians must always remember that we win even when we lose. Even when we fall forward. You say, well, what about all of those times when the plotting of the wicked has worked? I mean, through their scheming, evil people have gotten into the place of power. There were times in the past where people like Comey and Strzok and Page plotted to bring about political results, and it worked. Well, only in the short term. In the long term, everything always works against those with an ungodly agenda. Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. But for the ungodly, the converse is true. All things work together for bad to those who hate God. So if God so chooses, in the short term, to give the ungodly success, it's only so that in the long term, God's people are better helped. Remember, even Satan appeared to be temporarily successful in putting Jesus on the cross. But long term, it was his defeat. And a prime example of all this is the Old Testament book of Esther. The entire book is dedicated to this one subject of God bringing the persecution of the righteous by the wicked back on the heads of the wicked. And this book was written during a time when God's people were in exile, outside of the theocracy of Israel, under the dominion of evil kings. And the story was written to remind God's people that he's in control, that evil people cannot thwart God's plan. In fact, everything they do to thwart God's plan will actually help God's plan. Now, for a while, it appeared as if Haman was winning and that the Jews would be destroyed. But by the end of the story, Haman is hanging on the gallows that he built for Mordecai, the Jew. So as the story begins, it just so happens that King Ahasuerus deposes his queen Vashti. So he goes to look for a new queen, and it just so happens that Esther, a Jew, is chosen. And it just so happens that her uncle Mordecai discovers a plot against the king and saves the king's life. Haman, the Agagite, was an official in the Roman Empire, and he hated Mordecai. Because it just so happened that Haman became aware that Mordecai would not bow down before him. And Haman hated all of the Jews. And so he made up a law that specifically targeted the Jews for destruction. And he got the king to sign it under a false pretext. So Queen Esther sets up a special banquet with herself, Haman, and the king in an attempt to overturn this edict. Now, Haman, in his pride, thinks that the king is going to honor him. And so he goes to all of his friends and family and boasts about how he is having the special private meeting with the king and the queen. He then goes and he builds gallows upon which to hang Mordecai. But it just so happens that the night before, the king can't sleep. And so he has his scribes read to him the Chronicles of the King. And apparently, they were so boring that they would be an instant cure for insomnia. But the record is read of Mordecai, exposing the plot to kill the king, and the king then realizes that Mordecai has never been rewarded. So Haman happens to be in the court at this time. And the king asks Haman, what should he do for the one whom the king wants to honor? And Haman thinks the king is talking about him. So he tells the king, you need to dress this person up in royal robes and parade him throughout the city and proclaim to everyone that this man needs to be honored. And the king says, that's a good idea. I want you to do this for Mordecai. And Haman is completely humiliated. He has to go through the city honoring the very person he was seeking to kill. And before he has much time to even think about this, he is taken to that special dinner with the queen and the king. And at the dinner, the queen tells the king that Haman has plotted to kill her people, the Jews. And so the king is enraged. And the king steps out of the room for a moment. Haman pleads with Esther for his life, but he is over her on the couch when the king walks back in. The king says, will he even assault the queen with me in my own house? And so the king has Haman hung on the gallows that he built for Mordecai. And so the whole book of Esther is about how unplanned circumstances work for the benefit of God's people, and the plotting of the wicked work against the ones trying to destroy the people of God. Everything Haman did to destroy the people of God set up his own destruction. This is a timeless lesson seen in the story of Esther, but it is repeated continually every day in the history of God's world. The book of Esther is not giving us an isolated story. It's teaching us how God continually works to thwart the plan of the wicked. Proverbs 21:30. There is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. Proverbs 19:21. Many plans are in man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. Isaiah 46:10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purposes will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Isaiah 14:27. For the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? And as for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back? Isaiah chapter 8, verse 10. Devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal, but it will not stand, for God is with us. You cannot win against God. Not only will you fail, but everything you do against God will only help God and ensure your defeat. Like the political example I just gave, you may think you are working to defeat your enemy, but God will turn it all against your objective. Psalm chapter 2, the nations imagine a vain thing in thinking that they can overthrow God's anointed. But he has installed his king on Mount Zion, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The plea is this. Bow the knee to Jesus Christ today as Lord, so that you will not have to someday bow the knee to him as your judge. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. There you'll find extended versions of each of the radio programs. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, encourage your people once again with the truth that there is no counsel against the Lord. And armed with that truth, we pray for greater joy, for greater peace, for greater courage in our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.